Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to Circle Sanctuary Network Podcasts, brought to you by Circle Sanctuary, one of the oldest nature spirituality churches in the United States, connecting people of nature-centered paths around the world. Join us through the week for a variety of shows discussing various topics, celebrating the divine in all of its forms through nature worship, rituals, education, and building bridges of community.
Welcome to Nature Spirituality with Selena Fox. This is Selena Fox, and we celebrate autumn time. We celebrate harvest time with apples and apple magic. I'm coming to you live via CSNT, Circle Sanctuary's Internet Radio Network, and live on my main Facebook page, Selena Fox Updates. So for all of you who are tuning in live, welcome, and a welcome to all of you who will be tuning in later. We celebrate apple. We celebrate apple as sacred fruit. We celebrate apple as sacred tree. We celebrate apple in its wide range of varieties and its many forms. Spirit of apple, come and be with us, guide us, and be with us as we explore apple magic. Apples have been a fruit appreciated by humans for at least 8,000 years and probably longer. How do we know this? That there are some remnants of old wild apples that have been archaeologically preserved. And while most fruit does not get preserved very long, it depends on the different conditions as to where the fruit ends up. We know that ancient peoples appreciated apples as they were doing hunting and gathering. And then with the switch to agriculture, apples started getting planted. And we know amongst the ancient Egyptians, the ancient Greeks, and the ancient Romans, and some other peoples, that apples were an important fruit. They not only were part of food, but beverages being made from apples, and apples have come to be part of lore and sacred life across the ages and around the world. Now, apples originally were thought to have come from Kazakhstan. You know, we're talking Asia. Well, how did that happen? Obviously, the seeds were starting to be taken far and wide with trading, so going from Kazakhstan off into Europe, that was one route, but they also went out into Asia. And we know that grafting, which is a horticultural process, has been around since ancient pagan times. Wide varieties of different kinds of apples. Now, I need to take a pause here to say that the word apple that I'm using tonight is specifically about Pyrus mollis and related forms. It's apple, the fruit that we come to know as apples. But for the longest time, and literally hundreds and hundreds of years, apple actually was a term given to any type of fruit, except for berries, that happened to be introduced to an area. It was like foreign fruit. Well, things have definitely shifted over time as humankind became more globally connected. And apples, in this way, of the apple we've come to know today, is something that continues to evolve as people from many paths and places are not only using it as part of nutrition, but using it as symbols. And those of us who do magic, for magic. There's a number of old stories about apples. And one story was that Atalanta, from classical mythology, had a number of suitors, but she really didn't want to get married to any of them. So she essentially said anybody that would beat her in a race could have her hand in marriage. Well, she was swift-footed and really outran all of those that were attempting to have her be a partner, except for one guy who got some golden apples from the gods and one by one threw them at different points during the race as a distraction. Well, it worked, and he did come in first, and they ended up getting married. Now, that's just an example of one of the many stories about apples. One that a number of people who are connected with cultures that have a strong Abrahamic religion underpinning will know the story of Adam and Eve. Now, was that an apple like we're talking about that was in the Garden of Eden? Probably not. We don't know, but most scholars do not think it was this kind of apple. Some say it was actually a pomegranate or some other fruit. Well, regardless of what fruit it was, that particular story from Genesis in the Bible has brought about some bad PR about apples for some people, and some people have really seen apples as being the reason that humankind has gotten itself in difficult predicaments. Well, I don't personally believe that. I don't even think it was a for real apple like we know it. That's in the story, if indeed the story actually had some historical basis. But the idea of apples being connected with knowledge, with beauty, and love, that's something that's very ancient, goes across a lot of different faith traditions. And there have been people who are in Abrahamic traditions that have made a really good course, a case for apples being wonderful. In fact, in the Jewish New Year celebration and some forms of Judaism, a bit of cut apple is dipped in honey as a kind of blessing and as a ritual for sweetness and goodness to come in the new year. So that is another tradition going back in time that continues to happen to this day. What are some other stories about apples? Now, the Trojan War even got blamed on apples. Golden apples, so a special kind of magical apples. So what was this Trojan War story? Well, there was a big wedding feast, and all the gods were invited except one, Eris, goddess of chaos and discord. They did not invite her because they didn't want that to flow into the wedding. However, she showed up anyway, and she had a golden apple, and basically said, this is for the fairest of all the goddesses. Well, Athena, Hera, and Aphrodite all wanted that apple. Well, Paris from Troy was given the opportunity to pick which of the goddesses would get the apple. Well, he picked Aphrodite, or if you prefer, Aphrodite. And as a result, as part of that deal, Helen of Troy came to be his partner. Yes, he made off with a Greek king's partner, and that's how the Trojan War supposedly got started. Lots of different stories figuring apples, magical apples, real apples, and we know the apple lore continues to be shared to this day. Pomona, a goddess of orchards and of apples, and some other fruit as well, revered in classical times, a Roman goddess that has her name in as a place name in California and some other parts of the world. In Scandinavian mythology, Idun, the goddess of eternal youth, she was an apple goddess. And what other connections were there with apples and divinities? Well, amongst the Celts, there was a special place and connected with apples. And some say that the Arthurian myth cycle with Avalon, the island of apples, definitely has apples hardwired at its foundation. You have in Arabia that there is a particular kind of apple. Prince Ahmed had a cure-all. It was in the Arabian Nights. And there are apples that have shown up in a variety of tales. In America, there is an old adage, an apple a day keeps the doctor away. I learned this as I was growing up. And indeed, in my family, we ate apples a lot, all sorts of apples, fresh apples, apple butter, apple sauce, and apple juice were part of my diet growing up. And the idea of apples being health-giving is something very ancient and nutritious as well as delicious. Now, there is a whole range of different flavorings of different types of apples. And what we like to do at the Circle Sanctuary Welcome Fall Festival over the years has been to have everyone bring apples, fresh apples, and we mix them all together. And even with all those different flavors, somehow they blend together and make a wonderful cider. And apple cider is something that is drunk in its non-alcoholic form. And it also can be fermented, made into mead, and a variety of other alcoholic drinks. But apple cider is starting to become available in a lot of groceries and farm markets now. We're just now getting into apple season. To your health. Wassail. The Saxons had that as a blessing. Not just at Yuletide and calendar New Year time, wassail, but it's something that's good year-round. So wassail, its basic ingredient is apple cider, but lots of herbs and spices get woven into that. And it's a tradition I've had in my household for many years that in connection with Yuletide, taking some of the cider that has been crafted at our Welcome Fall Festival and then serving it at our various Yuletide events. Now, there's different traditions regarding wassail and wassailing. Wassail itself is the drink. It is a blessing to your health, but it's also an activity. And hundreds of years ago, parts of old Europe and now in different parts of the world, people would get together with, and it's usually the fermented kind of wassail ale that's being consumed, and go door to door singing songs and going to the orchards where the apples have come from. And the idea is you go out and you wassail the trees. You give thanks for the harvest. You send prayers for a good next harvest when growing time starts again. Just a wonderful, wonderful tradition. I get a crock pot, put in the apple cider, then put in lots of spices. Cloves and cinnamon, nutmeg, allspice, some of the ones that I use, and stir it up. And, of course, in addition to that, I'll put apple pieces in as well. Not only looks good, but adds some additional flavoring. And at some parties I've had at Yuletide, we'll get everyone getting their glass, and everyone will hold it up and wassail each other. I have gone to wassailing orchards. We have a small wild apple tree orchard. It's kind of gone wild over the last decade or so. Before Circle Sanctuary had the land, people had planted some apple trees, and now they've gotten less domesticated and more kind of a wild side. But we've gone out to those apple trees at our Welcome Fall Festival, not only to pick the apples, but to give thanks to the apples. I have done a New Year's wassail at an orchard by some friends of ours, not too far from where Circle Sanctuary is located. And there is a custom called toast. When you toast someone, where does that come from? Apple magic. Essentially, actual pieces of toasted bread are hung in the trees of an apple orchard as part of a wassailing tradition. Typically dunked in some wassail and then tied up to the branches as a way of wishing well and giving thanks to those apple trees. Some additional things to consider are apples as part of holiday traditions, and certainly with certain foods such as apple pie, that can be good year-round. But when apples are in season, they often become part of various holiday feasts. In the pagan wheel of the year, autumn is marked by the start of autumn, the official start, autumn equinox, and by Samhain, which is the midpoint of the season. While apples play heavily into rituals, meditations, charm making, decorations, divinations at autumn festivals. And some at fall equinox, autumn equinox, also known as Mabon, will have a plate of apples on the main altar for group and household rituals. Some will actually take apples and form a sacred circle with whole apples. And then at the end of the ceremony, everyone has a chance to take one of those apples into their own personal lives, take them home to use as a charm or to use as an offering or to eat, to consume. Apples have been offerings and in the fruit form as well as in the liquid form and in the food form. one way of working with apples as offerings is to incorporate them in a ritual of Thanksgiving, a ritual that's welcoming in the autumn, a ritual for honoring the dead, which happens at Samhain time. And at other times of the year, apples have been connected with the other world. Yes, they've been connected with eternal life and immortality, but they're also connected with the realm of the dead. One technique for doing a apple offering is to have some type of libation bowl. I have a copper libation bowl that was gifted to me by a community member prior to her death. And what you can do in an indoor ritual or an outdoor ritual where you really cannot pour a liquid libation on the ground is as you offer your Thanksgiving with the libation, you pour it into the libation bowl, and then later that can be poured out in nature somewhere. Now, one technique is with group ritual. Now, this can be a small group, one's household, or a much larger group, such as a big Sabbath festival, everyone gets together. You can pass around a huge chalice or a jug of cider and let each person pour into the libation bowl and to express a thanksgiving or an honoring. So that's a technique that's used not only in connection with apples and apple cider libations, but it's adaptable and used in a number of different traditions. Apples. A single apple can serve as an offering. And whether it's autumn equinox or Samhain or some other holidays that you choose to do some offering work, pick an apple that's in good shape, fresh, beautiful. If you're giving it as an offering to a form of the divine, you'd like it to look as beautiful as possible. As you prepare to do the offering, I invite you to consider holding it in your hands, reflecting on the apple, actually connecting with the essence of the apple itself, its spiritual qualities, and then call to mind the blessing, the expression that you wish to speak or think as you place the offering on the earth or on a gravestone or on an altar or on a cornucopia. There's a number of different methods of physically giving an apple out as an offering. You may want to have a prayer or a chant that you say as you do this, and others can all join in together. Now, if you're part of a small group and you are looking at working with an apple as an offering, you can pass one apple around the entire circle, if it's a small enough group of people, and each person can say their piece with the apple, and then the person serving as facilitator for this part would then place it to the area where it's going to be serving as an offering. Another way is to have everybody bring their own apple and be able to go in and go and put them in the area. But one of the things you have to be aware of is that if it's returning the apple to nature, that it will attract wildlife of a variety of kinds, not only will you likely get some creatures that may want to eat the apple. Deer really like apples. Raccoons and possums really like apples. and I'm sure there's a variety of other creatures that like apples, but insects will get in, and bees, it's so sweet and whatever. So be aware, if you're going to have a mass deposit of apple offerings, to put it in a place where it can naturally go back to nature without creating a compost opportunity in that area, literally letting the apple return to life. Now, there's different ways of working with an apple in ritual, and I'd like to share some of those ways now. I think a real simple way of doing an apple meditation is to take an apple, sit with it, and as you center yourself, be present with it. Let all of your attention and your intention be on communing with the particular apple, but the apple spirit in addition to that. And after you have sat with the apple for a time, with eyes open, looking at its beauty, its patterning, its coloration, its shape, being able to engage all of your senses, the touch, the smell, and if you choose to eat on it, you can get a taste piece there. And as you work with communing with it, then connect with its spiritual dimension as your main focus. It aligns you with this apple, with the tree that it came from, but with apples as a whole. And apples have been part of my life and continue to be. And just having a few moments to sit and be one with an apple can be really relaxing. Now, as with other meditations and different types of meditations, you can have a particular focus on the meditation. Let's say you're going to be working with an apple, not as an offering to the divine or to a sacred place, the spirit of place form of the divine, but you are going to give it as a gift. And yes, apples have been gifts in a variety of contexts across cultures, faith traditions, through the ages. In fact, as I was growing up, it was considered a proper gift to give your teacher in public school an apple as appreciation for the wisdom that you are receiving. So if you're going to be gifting an apple, first of all, know its source if you can. Is it organic? Are there pesticides or anything else on it? If you've gotten it from a store or a market and you aren't really sure of the source and don't have a good way of finding that out, wash your apple. Some organic farms are getting perfectly beautiful apples without lots of different insect invasions. Some are a bit more organic in terms of having different exposures to the weather, but some people use pesticides when they grow and some don't. I've been an organic gardener throughout my life. I just prefer it that way. So before you give an apple to someone, make sure you physically wash it and dry it, and also put your intention, your love, your support, whatever the focus of the gift is for the person that you're going to be giving it to, and then do a presentation. You may simply hand it over, or you might wrap it up. You might include a poem. Now, apples have been given, exchanged by lovers as a token of love, friendship, connection. And apples also have been given as a as a truce. If there's been a conflict with someone, they can take a healing form and be a kind of peace offering. Apples can be used in their actual form. I actually not only have work with real fruit apples, but I have what I call symbolic apples that I use in decorations that can be left outside and indoors without needing refrigeration or other kind of preservation method. So you can get symbolic apples or actual apples, depending on your inclination and your needs. What are some other things to do with an apple? Divination. Now, there's a variety of different divination techniques. One technique is to actually take an apple peeler or a knife and carve the peeling off as much as you can in one continuous strip. And depending on the focus of the divination, if you can use a more general piece where you put the question or the topic that you want some insight on and hold, write that down or make a note of it and then have it in your mind as you are getting the apple peeling off. And then centering yourself, holding that mind, you cast it over one of your shoulders, and then you go and find the peel and look at it. So you do a kind of scrying piece with the peeling from the apple. Now, one version of this was that young girls would go and do this to get an idea of a husband-to-be when the time came, the initial of a husband, or those who are marriageable age might do it when there's several different suitors. So that is one old technique. I actually think that if one's really looking at having a life partner, that certainly one can contemplate and do these kind of peeling over the shoulder divination piece, but I think much better would be to share an apple with your prospective mate and just see what that process is like. Another technique with apples for divination is actually evolved into a Samhain, aka Halloween game. Not only for young, but for old, it's called bobbing for apples. A big wash tub or barrel of some sort full of water, full of lots of apples, each apple marked with the name of someone that might be a prospective suitor. This is one version of it, looking for the partner. And then you would endeavor to get the apple that is aligned with that possible choice and to get it on your first try. Well, that was one kind of game. Another kind of game is to actually, and this is a more contemporary one, put different symbols, carve it into the apple. If you're involved in a heathen tradition, you might do a rune on each of the apples, and then as a way of going and getting divination, a message for you, you get your head down in the water, and your hands have to be behind your back. So you would get definitely wet in this, and then you are getting the apple with your mouth, and then seeing what message came to you. Now, I've done apple bobbing, but not with the divination piece to it. And I can say that, yes, it's messy, but it can be a lot of fun. And regardless of whether you choose to do either of those methods of divination, there are plenty of other ways to work with apples and divination. And one is to have an apple that you energize as a dream incubation device and put it next to your bed, or yes, you could put it under your pillow. That would be a little lumpy, but actually energize it, bring me a dream to give me guidance on a new field of study. For example, energize the apple, put it by your bed, and as you go off to sleep, you hold the apple, set it down. I will dream a response. I will remember what I dream, and I will understand what I dream upon awaking. It's a good idea if you're using an apple in this way for dream divination that you have some type of means for recording whatever comes to you in the night. So a real good thing is to get some kind of notebook that you can have available to jot some things down that might come during the night. Now, apples can be used in some other ways as well. I'd say one of the most magical ways of working with apples in ritual, especially for those of us that work with the pinnacle as a sacred symbol, is during the course of a ritual to take an apple, cut it horizontally, and then to reveal the star that's in the center of every apple. Now, that this side has seeds in it. This one, you can still see it even though the seeds are out. And there are actually whole rituals that have been crafted around the surprise inside the apple. And the five-pointed star connected with the five elements of nature. And some people find it really powerful in doing an apple ritual to connect with the elements as they apply to an apple tree, an apple fruit. We call to the power of apple. We call to the sacred earth, the soil, and the roots that nurture the apple tree. We call to the power of the sacred air and the wonderful aroma and the breezes that pollinate apple trees and bring refreshment to our minds. We call to the power of apple as energy, the seeds within, the branches, the trunk of the tree as apple wand. And apple wood, we call to the powers of apple and sacred water, that of apple juice, apple cider, fresh sweetness, and we call to the spirit of apple, the multifaceted fruit of immortality, of love, beauty, the other world, the ability to journey into other dimensions, the magic of apple and apple trees, apple orchards. Apple, we call to you, we honor you, and we celebrate you. So be it. So you could do a whole apple ritual, and depending on what particular tradition you are in. If you're in a tradition that works with the sacred directions, then you can work with soil in the north and the fragrance in the east, the wood of a wand or the seeds in the south, the juice in the west, and if you're from a tradition such as I am that has more than four directions, that which is below the roots of the apple tree going deep into the earth, the world tree as an apple tree, and then the branches going to the sky that holds fruit as well as blossoms. Then you have sky, you have planet, you have the center that is spirit, and you've got the sacred directions. So there's ways of working magical apple imagery into a ritual on its own or to incorporate that into an autumnal ritual. Well, what are some other things that you can do with apples? You can have apples be a giveaway at a Sabbath gathering or at a full moon, a harvest moon circle, having a huge bowl with lots of apples, and at the end of the ceremony, everyone gets an apple to take into their home area. You can create shapes with apples. You can create a pinnacle. You can create a triangle. You can create all sorts of different shapes. You can put an apple in each of the four directions of a sacred circle. So there are ways that you can work with apple in ritual space. In addition, being able to work with an apple and to cut it up and to mindfully eat an apple. In fact, that itself can be a kind of communion, having an apple pre-cut, pass it around a circle, and each person having the opportunity to take the blessed apple into their system. Now, there are some other things that people have done with apples that have proved beneficial. An apple not only can be sent around the circle as a way for each person to express a thanksgiving or some other blessing that's going to be as part of an offering, an apple can actually be a kind of cleansing charm. And in this case, one method that I've heard where you take the split apple and that you take one half of the apple and you send it around the circle and you have each person release into that apple half something that one wants to discharge or let go of in one's life. Have it go all the way around the circle, and then taking the half that you didn't use, put it back on top, and then to bind the two together with cord, or you can use tape or some other means that biodegrades, and then take that apple, do some healing work, and take it to some place where you can bury it into the ground and let it ground out those things that need to be released. The half of the apple that isn't sent around serves not only as a container for it, having both halves together, but as a means of cleansing and well-being. So you have the release part and the energizing part in doing this kind of healing apple charm. There are ways of working with apple incense and apple fragrances. There's a variety of different essential oils, and certainly there's some apple incenses that can be burned as a way of releasing the aroma of apples into one's life. we're in the autumn time when I'm doing this workshop right now, but one of my real favorite things with apples happens in the springtime as apple trees start blooming and the blossoms have such a wonderful aroma. And yes, there are some fragrances that capture that aroma, which can be fabulous no matter what time of year. Getting out and looking at the blossoms of the apple tree, especially if you're in a place where there's apple orchards, apple groves, lots of trees, being able to get out and look at the blossoms in itself is a kind of magic for regeneration and renewal. So there's a lot of lore about apples and the other world. Magical apples that come from the other world, magical apples that help you go into the other world. Some magicians and some of the lore around Merlin said that he had a special apple wand made of apple wood that allowed him to pass in and out of different dimensions. Lots of different lore about all of that. And clearly, being able to come up with your own personal connections with apples as you strengthen your connection is an important thing. You may want to have an apple feast and have everyone bring different foods that have some type of apple connected with them. Different apple pies and apple butters and certainly juices and ciders and being able to gather with others and appreciate the wide variety of things that are helpful with apple consumption. So I've shared a number of different forms of working with apples, and what I'd like to do now is to invite you to take a short meditative journey with me. And this is to a sacred apple tree that is bearing fruit. So I invite those of you who are able to clear away distractions and focus for a few moments to do that and take some deep, slow breaths and center yourself. And we prepare to journey into the realm of apple magic. Imagine a beautiful circle of radiant light around you, giving you a place which you can orient to as you prepare to do the inner journey, and that can help you on your return. And now, in the next few moments, I invite you to lower your gaze, if you're able to do that, or close your eyes. And imagine yourself walking in a field at autumn time, and in the distance, you see an apple tree. And you are making the journey to that apple tree to deepen your connection with that tree and with apple, the essence of apple, the spirit of apple, the magic of apple. Imagining yourself reaching the tree and touching the tree in some way, holding your hand on its trunk, or if you get a sense the tree is fine with you climbing up and actually being in the apple tree, letting yourself actually go and sit in the tree. Experience the apple tree as a living being. Experience the apple tree as teacher. Experience the apple tree as healer. Experience the apple tree and its power of renewal. And as you continue to make contact with the tree, invite the apple tree to guide you in picking one of its apples. Pick the apple and hold it before you. And as you do so, let a word or a phrase or a symbol come to mind. That will aid you in your understanding of yourself and sacred work with apple. Pay attention to what you experience as you connect with the apple. And then, taking the apple, instead of eating it, hold it to your heart and let it flow into your whole being. Absorb this magical apple. Let its healing powers flow throughout you. Power of well-being, of wellness, flowing in you and around you. And pay attention to what message comes to you now about something specific you can do in daily life to enhance healing and well-being for you. Healing and well-being for you. A message of healing and well-being for you. And as you feel complete with that, give thanks to the apple tree, and know that when you have need, you can again connect with this tree and its magical apples to aid you in your spiritual life and journey. As you take some deep, slow breaths now, you part ways with the tree. You hold your hands up and you let love from your heart and from your hands flow into the tree, into the fruits, saying farewell and giving thanks. And then as you hold your hands to your heart once again, taking some deep, slow breaths, return to that sacred circle of light that you cast around you at the start of this magic apple journey. And as you return to a more waking state of consciousness, make note, and if you can, actually jot it down, some of your impressions, some of your experiences in connecting with apple spirit, the spirit of the apple tree, and the spirit of apple fruit. Apples, we give thanks to you. Apples, we remember you. Apples, we honor you. Apple fruit, apple seeds, apple stems, apple branches, apple trees, apple blossoms, apple juice, apple foods, apple magic. We give thanks. We give thanks. We give thanks. So be it. Thank you all for being part of Apple Magic. And I hope that as you journey into this next turning of the seasons, that you have some fun and some learnings and some magic with apples and the spirit of apples. I want to give thanks to all who make this podcast possible. David and Jeanette Ewing, who do engineering and management of our CSNP podcast. Also, to all of our podcasters, David and Jeanette, Laura Gonzalez, Deborah Rose, and yes, our social media team of Laura and Jules and Casey, and our webmaster, Bob, and thanks to all in the Circle Sanctuary community, and thanks to all of you for being part of this debut of Apple Magic. May you be blessed. May you be well. And I hope that you will tune in again, Nature Spirituality, on Wednesday nights, and you can connect with me on Sunday afternoons for my encore podcast show, Nature Mystic, where different shows, different podcasts from the last 10 years of podcasting that I've been doing will be featured. And I wish you all a blessed time. Happy day, happy night, depending on where you are. Bright blessings.
thank you for joining us on the Circle Sanctuary Network podcast, presented by Circle Sanctuary and produced for all who follow the Nature Center paths. Join us here throughout the week for various programming connecting the community around the world. And please don't forget to watch for updates on the Circle Sanctuary website at www.circlesanctuary.org. And follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/CSNpodcasts. We can also be found on your favorite podcast hosting sites, such as iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and others. And until next time, many blessings.